The KM Football Podcast. All the latest reaction and analysis from the KM Sports team. Listen every week and click subscribe on iTunes.
Okay, welcome to this week's KM Football Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Panting, and I'm joined in the studio this week by Craig Tucker and Luke Cordell. Good afternoon or good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Morning.
It was. Okay, let's start with Gillingham and their 2-2 draw against Wickham in League One on Saturday. We'll speak to Luke in a moment, but first of all, let's hear from Gillingham boss Steve Lovell.
We didn't start very well at all. They deserve to be in the lead. Yeah, it's a pattern of our season, really. If we start well, then we get results. And it make the game easy for ourselves, but fair play to them. They came and they pressed us and had a go. And they had some lively players, which caused us problems. But, you know, that was then. And then we changed things up. Had a go second half because we had to. You know, there was no point going over what had gone in the first half. So we forgot that and sort of planned for the second half. And I said at half-time, it's a Hartlepool. Hartlepool away. You know, you're 2-0 down. You just got to get back in the game. You don't got to worry about how you concede the goals or how you play. You just do it from now. And second half, we obviously took the game to them. And, you know, we got back in the game. Two good goals. Thomas has made a couple of good saves in the goal. But, you know, Josh Parker could have won it for us at the end if he had taken a touch. But, you know, at half time, he would have taken the point.
Okay, Luke, so Steve, they're saying that half-time he would have taken a point. Was that the way you saw it as well? Great comeback, I guess, from Jules, being 2 down at the break.
Yeah, they looked dead and buried, really. So, yeah, you've got to be pleased with the 2-2. It was one of the old games of two halves it was. They really struggled first half. Not quite sure what got into them, but second half, much better. Scored a couple of good goals, and Josh Parker could have almost won it as well right at the death.
Yeah, goals from Tom Eaves and Josh Parker. I guess any manager's always happy when their strikers are firing in front of goal and on the score sheet.
Yeah, Eaves just keeps going on, going, doesn't it? I think that's his 15th of the season now, 14th in League One. I'm sure that adds a few more quid to his value. Haven't seen too much of Josh Parker this season in front of goal, but that's his third. And like the manager said after the game, hopefully there should be more to come from him. So we could have... I mean, if Parker was firing as well, then it'd be magic, wouldn't it?
I want to talk about Tom Eaves. I guess that there's three ways that could go. We'll know more, no doubt, in the next couple of weeks. But I guess he either signs a new deal, Jules cash in January, or he lets his contract run out to the end of the season.
Yeah. Well, ball's in the player's court entirely, isn't it? It's completely up to him what he does, really. From Gillingham's perspective, it's a strange one, isn't it? Do you hope that he stays for the rest of the season, but then the problem is he'll go for nothing, won't he, at the end of the season? So maybe cash in now, but then you're going to miss his goals. Quite a conundrum, really, isn't it? I mean, they had a similar issue with Bradley Dack, didn't they? They had offers for him in the January. They said no. They hung on and they didn't get anywhere near the amount of money that they could have done if they'd have sold him in the January transfer.
I guess the difference
window,
this so. One's going to be he's going to go for nothing.
Well, absolutely nothing. Yeah, you're not going to get anything, are they?
Won't be a penny, so, will it, in the summer?
No, he's of an age where they're not entitled to any compensation or anything. So
it's a tricky one, I guess, if he doesn't stay, because Jules need the points on the board as well. They're not got, you know, far enough away from the bottom four, have they, to be able to cash in on him?
They do, but I guess the manager will be hoping that some of the money from the transfer that they would sell, you know, if they did sell him in January, that it'd go into his kitty, so we'd be able to bring someone else in. The only problem would be if, I suppose, Tom could sign a pre-contract with someone in January and then go for nothing. But I have to see on that.
Interesting. Okay, so 4 games in 10 days over the festive period for Jules, leading up to the FA Cup tie against Cardiff. They start with Charlton away on Saturday, Portsmouth and Doncaster at home, before a trip to Southend on New Year's Day. What's your thoughts going into that run of fixtures, Luke?
Well, those first three you mentioned, that they're all in the top six, aren't they? So it's a tough one, but he's got results. I think has he got a result with Doncaster? I think he has. He's drawn at Doncaster. He's had results at Charlton and Portsmouth. So they're certainly capable of pulling off a surprise at some of these teams. And it certainly would be a surprise if they can get wins from any of those games. Southend's more of a level playing field, really. But it's a tricky one, isn't it? Really tough Christmas period. Mm.
Do you think they almost play better against the better teams in that division?
They can do. Hard to say, really. Sometimes they do, sometimes they're not always. No, not always.
Okay, no worries. Let's move on to Maidstone and bring Craig in to the conversation. 1-1 draw at Woking in the FA Trophy. Sets up the replay on Tuesday night. Obviously, Maidstone played a lot of that game with 10 men. Craig, what was your thoughts on it? A fair result in the end, or could have gone either way?
Yeah, I think so. I think with 10 men, you're probably always going to take a draw and a replay. A few people saying on the day whether they could have... I think it was the option to finish it in a day rather than needing the replay, and probably that would have suited both sides, really, to have got it done in the day. But obviously, it wasn't an arrangement that they came to. But yeah, I mean, they were down to 10 after 40 minutes of Ollie Muldoon going off for the two yellows, and then been on a bad run, a bit down on their luck. So I think probably at that stage, you'd be happy just to still be in it, get a draw. Woking are, say, they're the league below, but they're going well in National South, and they've won something like 8 in a row, flying in the FA Cup as well. Got Premier League to come in the third round. So, you know, I think it's one of those where if Woking had won on Saturday, I don't think anyone would have been surprised. You couldn't have said it would have been an upset. So I think really, a 1-1 draw, definitely hopefully something to build on. It was an interesting team lineup going in there with a back three, no real recognised centre-half. Simon Wharton has played at the back a bit in his career, but he's a midfielder by trade. He played there with Michael Phillips and George McLennan either side of him. So it wasn't, you sort of looked at and think, blimey, that's not what you'd pick as a back three. But to be fair, they did well. They did do well. You had De Havilland and Finney on the bench, recognised sort of centre halves. But yeah, the three did do well. And yeah, I think, 1-1 draw, just about right. Woking really pushed hard at the end. I think they were determined to try to get it done in one day. But Maidstone dug in, got the draw, and back to the Gallagher Tuesday.
Yeah, I guess to only concede the one goal with 10 men shows how well those sort of makeshift defenders, so to speak, sort of, you know, did perform for Stones. That's a positive sign going forward. Obviously, after the trophy replay, you then turn focus to the league. Maidstone next to bottom, of course, in National League. 4 points, I think it is, from safety. And over Christmas, played Dover twice, of course, Andy Hessenthaler's team, and then host Gateshead this Saturday, first of all, and I think also a trip to Bournemouth. What's your thoughts going into those run of games in the league?
Yeah, difficult. I think people have been talking about those two Dover games for a while already, because both clubs down there, and Dover seem to be sorting themselves out. Maidstone on a bit of a tough time, 1-10 in the league. It's put them, say, 4 points adrift. Saturday difficult. Gateshead are a good side. Pretty useful. Steve Watson, very good manager, knows exactly what he's doing. Has a good career, and obviously knows the game well. That'll be difficult. And you know, Maidstone still haven't won a home game under Harry Wheeler. They need to obviously to change that, get some wins at home. And yeah, those Dover ones, I think people, you know, sort of saying, been saying for a while, what massive games those two games are going to be. Again, at the minute, you look at it and you probably think Dover are more likely to win those, but it can turn very quickly, can't it? So Maidstone could perhaps get something against Gateshead, and just sort of signs are turning the corner and perhaps cheer everyone up a bit, and you never know.
Yeah, I was going to move on to Dover next. Obviously, they drew in the trophy, so they've also got a replay. They drew against Havant 2-2 at Crabble on Saturday. But in terms of their league games going forward, they go to Barnet this Saturday, an early kick-off, that one's on the telly, I believe. Then the Maidstone games are sandwiched by a home match against Leighton Orient. So Hess's team have certainly got some hard work ahead of them, but as you say, they've got that momentum, and it's that kind of string of results to put together that I guess that Maidstone really do need sooner rather than later, just to give yourselves a little bit more breathing space.
Yeah, that's exactly it. There's been an awful lot of changes. I think a lot of people are saying now it needs to settle down. You can't keep bringing in all these players. You need to find a settled side. I think the manager would say that himself. You don't want to be doing that. You don't want to be signing players every week and, you know, getting rid of people if they have a couple of bad games. You want that settled team to pick up some results. I think he now feels he's at a time where he's got that. He's now got the players he wants. And you'd now hope that the results will start to follow.
Yeah, I talk about Dover, Luke. You've been impressed with the change in their fortunes since Andy Hessenthaler's taken charge down at Crabble?
Yeah, he's really started to turn it around, hasn't he? They're almost out of the bottom four. I think they're just one place.
Just, yep, yeah, well, yeah,
just,
they could
just one place
move
to go,
out
and then
week,
they're out of there, yeah. I think reading something the other day. He said he was focusing on the league rather than the trophy. So, you know, the fact that they've got a draw, fair play to them, that they've still got a bit of hope in that. But it's all about the league for him, isn't it? And survival and doing everything that they can to stay up. And their revival has certainly been the worst timing for Maidstone, hasn't it? So those games against the Stones are going to be great.
Okay, finally in the National League, Ebbsfleet, and they went out of the FA Trophy 1-0 to Dagenham. Let's hear first of all from the Ebbsfleet manager, Gary Hill.
The first 30 minutes of the game, we could have probably been 2 or 3 up, and very much in control of the game, no doubt about that. The first time they come in here half after, I'd say, probably 30 minutes, seemed like a long punt upfield. It's come off the top of Jack King's head. Nathan's made a decision. He's made it easy for the man, really. You make them decisions, but he's just lobbed him into an empty net. Coming in 1-0 down at half-time against the strong wind and the elements, still fancy us very strong. Within 5 minutes of the second half, we'd gone 3-4-3, so it wasn't a case of we wasn't positive. We turned around and made the changes very early. Got Cody Donald up front with Danny Kedwell and Michael Cheek. We still had our width with Corey Whiteley one side and Bagasane Graham the other, and, you know, we basically peppered their box continuously. But, you know, you look at the game and, you know, there's a great ball into the box. Michael Cheek swiveled on it, smashed it. He hit the goalkeeper in the face. And, you know, then you've had one or two scrambles in at the penalty area. And you want one to go in, and, you know, if one goes in, you go on and win the game. But, you know, not to be frustrating, very much so, because, it, as I say, it was a game which we had enough chances to win. We dominated for long periods, but, you know, good luck to them. They took their chance, and good luck to them in the next round.
Interesting there, Luke, that Gary Hill talks about playing Cody McDonald up front alongside Michael Cheek and Danny Kedwell. Obviously, a couple of those players you know very well from their time at Gillingham. What do you make of Cody McDonald's move to Ebbsfleet, first of all?
Well, he'd been out for quite a while, hadn't he, since leaving Wimbledon in August. So I think he needs to get back up to steam fitness-wise, doesn't he? And then they'll probably start seeing the best of him. Certainly a player that a lot of Gillingham fans still rate quite highly. When they found out he was a free agent, a few people were quite keen to see him coming back to Gillingham. But Steve Lovell soon said no, he's not interested. But him, Keds and Cheek, yeah, it's a great front line there, isn't it? They really went for it, didn't they, in that match? And I don't think the manager could believe that they'd lost 1-0. I think he was saying that Peter Taylor and his men got very lucky in that game.
Was it? I think there was a talk about lottery numbers and so forth for Saturday evening going on.
But they were peppering them, didn't they? Peppering the goal at times, and just unfortunately, just couldn't get it, could they?
Exactly. And McDonald, do you think once he gets one or two goals that he will get on a run and you know, be able to contribute in terms of scoring goals? I know Cheek has certainly you know, found his scoring boots in recent weeks for the Fleet.
It's a strange one, isn't it? Because it never really happened for him at Wimbledon, did it? Certainly has at previous clubs, and it definitely did at Gillingham. If he's playing alongside Kedge, you'd imagine there'd be some sort of chemistry there. They've played together before. I think it's just a matter of time. I think once he's fully fit and he's flying, then I think the goals will come.
Interesting. Weeks ahead for the Fleet, and be interesting how they fare over the festive period as well. They've really moved up the table in the National League. I guess, Craig, they're looking upwards rather than down like our other two teams in that division.
Yeah, 100%. Gary Hill said when he came in, didn't he, that he was looking at the playoffs. So it was quite good that he came in and was bold. He wasn't just sort of talking about staying up. A team with those players shouldn't be just looking to stay up. They're easily good enough to be up there. And he's talking about adding to the squad as well. They've had to obviously to let a few go, but he was talking last week about adding to it. So it sounds like the options are there to do so. Good manager, and he knows, again, he knows that level, experienced manager. They obviously, you know, Darren McMahon, they went the other way, didn't they? Some sort of vast experience, and I think he's doing really well. It's obviously early days, but you can't really ask any more at the moment. I think he's doing a good job.
Okay, moving on. There was a lack of games in National League South. Only the one that took place saw Welling lose at Hampton, so no fixture for Dartford at the weekend. So let's have a look at the Bostic Premier. Good to see Folkestone pick up 3 points, beating Bishop Stortford 2-0. And Margate, unfortunately, their trip to leaders Lewis was abandoned in the first half due to the waterlogged pitch down there. And not surprising, there was quite a few games that did fall foul of the weather. Looking forward in the Bostic Premier, though, gents, and you'll need to concentrate on this one. I'll be asking questions in a moment. Funny fixtures that are lined up over the festive period. Pay attention. So on Saturday, Folkestone and Margate are both at home. We've got no game for Tunbridge. On Boxing Day, Tunbridge hosts Folkestone, but there's no game for Margate. The following Saturday, December the 29th, Tunbridge are away to Carl Shorten, but there's no game for Margate or Folkestone. And if I got this right, on New Year's Day, Folkestone hosts Margate, but there's no game for Tunbridge. Questions in a moment. I hope you get maximum marks, but how on earth did that one work out? Craig, have you seen anything like that before?
I don't know any fixture secretaries, but I wouldn't mind having a chat with one if I did. The two days you want to be playing football, Boxing Day and New Year's Day. I mean, it's pretty obvious, isn't it? That you get the gates in as well. The fans like going to football on those 2 days. Surely everyone's got to play, doesn't it? It makes sense.
Yes. Oh, fixture secretaries law to themselves, aren't they, sometimes?
I believe they are, Luke. I believe they are. Interesting to move into the Bostic South as well. There was a new management appointment down at Ramsgate last week, obviously with the departure of Lloyd Blackman. Nick Davis, formerly Sitting Bull manager, of course, has gone in charge down there. They lost their first game under his tutelage 3-1 against Tommy Orlo's Ashford. They're now up to sixth, by the way. And another notable win at the weekend in that division was Sitting Bull 4-1 against Sevenoaks. Craig, I guess Nick Davis, a man you know well from his time as Sitting Bull manager, and good to see Sitting Bull also getting that win at the weekend as well.
Yeah, definitely. Very pleased to see Nick back in management. He did really well at Sitting Bull, and a good club for him. It's a good fit, Ramsgate. He was a very popular player down there. I was working down that neck of the woods when he was a player there, and he did ever so well at the back there for Ramsgate, when probably the best team they've had in a long, long time, that team that got to the Ryman Prem playoffs and won the League Cup. Mm. And once Lloyd Blackman quit, I thought Davis was an obvious choice for Ramsgate. Good young manager, knows lots of people, likes the club, nice bloke. It just seemed an obvious choice, and they moved quickly to make that happen. He's up, as for his old club, Sitting Bull, really pleased with them. Seven defeats in a row. It's not easy to sort of keep your head up and say the right things. But Aslan Odev, he's not been a manager a year, but I thought he conducted himself ever so well during that poor run. And they got that 4-1 win, and they deserve that because it's been a tough time for them. They kept working hard at it. Aslan's learning as he goes on. He sort of said that himself. He's spending a bit of time with Dover, learnings from Hesse and Nicky South on Darren Hare, which is good. He's not pretending to be the finished article. He's sort of saying, I'm making the transition from a coach to a manager. I've got things to learn. He's making sure he learns, and fair play to him.
Just picking up on one point you said there, interesting to go off script, unfortunately, but that Ramsgate team back in the day, well, give us a few of those players that was in there. I remember that was a cracking side, wasn't it, the Ramsgate team?
Yeah, you've done me there. People like Ollie Schultz at the back, obviously went on to do well for Dover.
That's right.
Ben Laslett was a really useful midfielder. Warren Schultz is good. They sold Welford, I think, that season, but Welford was brilliant for them. The year they won the Ryman One. For their first year up in the Kent League, Welford was phenomenal. They played this sort of 4-5-1, 4/4-3-3. I think Wardy claimed at the time that he beat Mourinho to that formation. played Stuart Vahid and Stefan Ball out wide, and Welford through the middle. It's a really good side. They ran away with that.
Some very good players.
Ever so well.
Teams playing on different days over the next few weeks in the Bostic South East Division. Three games are decent on Boxing Day. Faversham hosting Ashford, Sevenoaks make the trip to Hastings, and also Whitstable at home to the aforementioned Ramsgate. Just to drop into the Southern Counties East, the top two, Fisher and Beckenham, both won at the weekend, but Cray Valley were held at Tunbridge Wells, so they've lost a little bit of ground on the top teams in that division, but there is very little to choose between the top six as they head into the second half of the campaign. But you've all been waiting for, gentlemen, is Team of the Week. Let's have a look and see who's made the cut this week. In goal, Dan Easton from Whitstable. Back three this week. Interesting choice of formation. I guess you got your Mourinho ideas out again, gentlemen. Perry Spackman of Tunbridge Wells in there. Freeman Rogers of Lordswood and Ben Fitchett from Sitting Bull. Four in midfield comes in the shape of Michael Hagan for Chatham. He scored twice, as I recall, in their win over Hollins and Blair. Jack Paxman impressed for Maidstone at Woking. Josh Parker, of course, scored for the Jewels, and Kane Phillips scored an excellent goal for Canterbury in their home win. And then up front, Danny Parrish, who's been on fire lately for Ashford, Ade Youssef for Folkestone, and of course Alfie Pavey scored for Dover. And your managers, the already mentioned Aslan Odef from Sitting Bull. Craig, anyone in that team really stood out for you that we've not discussed so far?
No, some really good performances again. It's we all sort of sit down and chat about things, and we get some good players in that team. And 3-4-3, not sure I decided the formation in the end, but
So you've got to show flexibility, yeah, I guess, as a management team, haven't you, to decide where you're going to go with the
side. Yeah. Good solid defenders who know where the goal is as well. And yeah, I think Dan Easton's perhaps one to mention. I think Whitstable had a bit of a time of it at Guernsey. I think they went with one sub. Guernsey pretty strong at home. I think they had a bit of a up against it. And you need your keeper to be decent on days like that, and he obviously was.
Anyone stand out in there for you, Luke?
Might be incorrect, but I think that's a second 2-2 for Freeman Rogers, isn't it? Back for Lordswood, I think goals. Could be wrong. I'll have to check it. But no, he's doing well. And Lordswood, I think they scored 4 in their last 2 games. So fair play to them. Richard Stiles, the manager, there's a great lad.
Excellent stuff. Okay, gents, thanks very much for joining us. Thanks to everyone who's listened this week. Don't forget you can subscribe on Audio Boom and iTunes and keep up to date with all the latest stories throughout the week on our website at kentonline.co.uk.
The KM Football Podcast. All the latest reaction and analysis from the KM Sports team. Listen every week and click subscribe on iTunes.